This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing with your hosts, David Blassingame.
Good morning.
Tammy Pickard.
What's up?
What's up? And me, Sybil Summers. Waddle is on the board. I know. I haven't heard that commercial in forever.
That's because it ran 10 years ago.
Yeah, well.
Good point by you.
I'm bringing it back up. I like it.
So it is the tax-free Flex Lease going on at AutoFlex right now. If you're in the market for a new car, AutoFlex will cover that sales tax for you. Save you lots of money.
Yep. It is. It's a tax-free Flex Lease now through the end of the month. It's an easy deal. All you got to do is call us, 817 or 972-234-1234. You could also go to autoflex.com, apply online that way. Or if you're out where the radio barely plays, 888-234-1234.
Mm-hmm. And also at autoflex.com, you can follow along with all the shows and stories we talk about today just by clicking on that Facebook link.
Exactly. Yeah, we've the stuff we have on today, plus tons and tons of automotive news that we publish at Facebook.com. Also, no propaganda.
Right.
We don't do propaganda on our Facebook page. We're not trying to sell you anything. It's just there for people to look. If you're a car guy or car gal, it's got some great car stuff.
Mm-hmm. As long as you're enthusiastic about it.
Right. You have to be. That's one of the prerequisites.
And probably by later today or Monday, you'll get to see something interesting on our Facebook page that we saw yesterday while test driving a Hyundai.
What is it?
We were doing our Hyundai Sonata test drive to give a review on it this morning. And there on the side of the road, in fact, Tammy had a great suggestion. We should put a charging station in front of AutoFlex right there on 75.
Yes.
Because there was a Chevrolet Volt sort of laying down on the side of the road there with a tow truck in front of it.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
I think out of juice?
I think they ran out of electricity or something.
Well, the really interesting thing, we zipped by and I said, oh, we got to get a picture of that so we can post, you know, this will be a great advertisement for our new charging station. And he said, no, they'll be gone by the time we get back. I said, I don't think so.
And were they?
Oh, no, they weren't gone. You could tell that the tow truck driver was now, you know, he was looking underneath the front because he was trying to figure out how to get this thing up on his tow truck, right?
Uh-huh.
Then he goes and gets in the car. I can see him reach into the glove box, pull out the owner's manual. He's looking through there to figure out how he's going to tow this car.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll post that on the Facebook page a little later today. You'll be able to see the Volt and the tow truck on the side of the road.
If they did run out of juice, they ran out of juice a little too far from home.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I don't even know where charging stations are in the Metroplex. I haven't seen any yet.
If I owned one of those vehicles, I would carry that big cord with me everywhere I went. I'm just saying.
Plug it in?
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk a little GM bankruptcy because it's still not quite over just yet.
Well, you know, we're going to talk about unintended consequences later in the show when Jack Nerad joins us. Jack is the executive editor from KBB, also their chief market analyst. Unintended consequences. Here's one of the unintended consequences of the GM bankruptcy. Mm. GM is refusing to fix 400,000 Impalas built from 2007 and 2008. They have a defective rear spline that causes them to eat the back tires up in about 5,000 or 6,000 miles.
Mm.
And GM is saying they're not responsible for that because those cars were built by the old GM. The new GM,
now,
but the old
so
GM.
So tricky.
When businesses BK, it's to keep from getting sued for previous business that was, you know, poorly done.
Here's the thing. It's to keep from having to pay the bills that they've run up, and it's to keep from being responsible for things that they did before they declared bankruptcy. And so this is really not unusual. It happens. It's called successor liability. It's very common with companies that take bankruptcy. The new company claims that they're not responsible for what the old company does. Now, if you're talking about a company that is selling ice cream cones on the corner, that's one thing. If you're talking about a corporation the size of General Motors, as you can see, 400,000 vehicles that are they have a defect, and they're not going to be responsible for them as of right now.
These are the faulty rear spindle rods?
Yes.
Now, they did fix all the police cars,
which is a big, big thing because now,
well, they've set a precedent, in my opinion.
Yeah, everybody that owns one of these cars is going to be able to go into a class action and see if they can get General Motors to do the repairs. As of right now, General Motors is declining to repair the cars.
What they're saying is this person, they've sued the wrong entity. They need to sue the old GM Apparently, another lawsuit failed about navigation in OnStar,
which has no money. The old GM has no money, so you can sue them all you want to. They don't control any franchises. You're not going to get your car fixed.
They are saying that they will, you know, stick to the standard factory warranty. They're just not going to go beyond that for fixing this.
How can you sue a company that's defunct anyway, though? I mean, they don't have money.
Well, you can sue any company for anything. It's just you can't get anything.
They sued the new GM, not the old GM.
Right.
Right, but didn't... I thought new GM said, well, you got to go back and sue old GM.
Well, they did, just because they're passing the buck.
Right.
Yeah. Because they're saying they're not responsible, because we're the new GM.
Because we found BK.
Fantex, last week I heard... last week we texted you about an S2000. I heard rumors that Honda is looking at replacing the S2000 with a car they've developed called... the S3000. First of all, I think that's revolutionary in naming cars.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, that's great.
That's really, really creative.
You know what? I'm going to look it up because I don't know anything about the S3000. I did see an S2000 in a parking lot last night as I was stopping at a store, and it was customized. It had great-looking wheels on it, and it's just I love that car. It's just a great driving, fast. It's faster than a Boxster, cost about half as much.
Yeah, I think that they were on the top end in the 30,000 to 34,000 range when they first hit the streets, and they were definitely a fun little car.
Yeah,
I remember the little Honda Del Sol.
That was
a zippy little. Remember that?
Yeah, those are great
little
cars. I was
wondering if it replaced that.
No
way, it's a totally different type of. The Del Sol was a cheap little, or inexpensive. Excuse me.
Yeah, it was a well built little car, right. but the S2000 is a rocket.
Yeah,
it's a rocket. So
we'll
it's fun
find
to drive.
Out about this S3000. Fan Texter.
Also, Fan Texter, are the newer model Impala and Malibu cars good, and how are they on gas? And what is flex fuel? That's a really good question. Okay. The newer Impala and Malibu are better cars, and if you needed to, you could go back to General Motors and make them fix them because they're built by the new GM.
Right.
So there's one thing there. Secondly, flex fuel. Flex fuel is adding ethanol or alcohol to gasoline. It is subsidized by the government. It does not really save anybody anything because the flex fuel does not burn as efficiently as just pure gasoline. So any savings you would get by adding the alcohol to it are negated by the fact that it doesn't burn as well as gasoline. So it doesn't actually save you any money. What it does do is it's a great subsidy for the corn business and Archer Daniels Midland, which is now a multi-billion dollar corporation because of this.
Honk your horn if you're against subsidies.
Oh, I can hear the din from Central now. Yeah.
I'll tell you what. The other thing that supposedly the flex fuel does is kind of clog up your fuel system and stuff. There are different opinions on this, but some people say it's really terrible on your
engine. Well, here's some things for a fact. You can't run it in a two-cycle engine, so you can't run to the gas station and get gas for your lawnmower or your weed eater anymore, because if it's got ethanol in it in any volume at all, it will ruin those engines. It will also ruin the seals in the engine that you may have now. That's one of the big things. There was a big push to add more ethanol to gasoline, and in doing so, you could ruin a lot of the cars that are driving on the road today.
Surely that dries. I mean, if it's alcohol, if it's a derivative of alcohol, what do we all know alcohol does? It dries things out.
It does.
So those seals are made of rubber.
Now, there are countries that run pure ethanol in their vehicles, Brazil being the one I'm thinking of, and they make it from sugarcane, which is a lot smarter than buying up all the corn and driving up all the food prices that we pay in order to subsidize this industry.
Sweet.
Which is what we're doing.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Ba-dum-bum.
Yeah. Hey, vote. Vote your opinions, folks. Okay. Mm.
So a couple of years ago, we were talking about all the dealerships closing left and right. Manufacturers were just shutting stores down across the board. Now we might be seeing an uptick.
For the first time in 10 years, 66 new dealerships opened this past year.
How many of them are Fiat dealerships?
Well, I know of one. I know of one anyway. But that's something that's going to happen. You know, we're going to see more dealerships from Italy, Europe, the Mahindras are going to be starting to be sold here.
What's the Mahindra?
It's a truck. Yeah, it's a truck built in India.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So anyway, and Fiat certainly opening stores here. So what we're starting to see is a resurgence of franchise dealerships in the United States. The first increase in 10 years. And that's really good news for the car business because that signifies that people are buying cars again. Thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
There we have it.
There's a little bit of stimulation in this economy.
Right.
Spend the money. Spend your money and stimulate the economy.
So we don't know what specific dealerships.
Well, yeah, you're going to see a lot of specific dealerships from China, from India, from Italy. I mean, the Chery vehicles are going to be being imported from China. We know that Fiat and Alfa Romeo are coming from Italy, and Mahindra from India. So there'll be a lot different dealerships. And you also have to consider that the number of dealerships that were closed by General Motors and Chrysler during their bankruptcy, and Ford has closed the Lincoln Mercury stores that they had out there. So they're going to have strictly Lincoln dealerships. There won't be any more Lincoln Mercury stores. And if it was a Mercury exclusive, it's gone.
I haven't seen a new Mercury in a long time.
No.
Me neither.
They're over.
Well, because they don't make them anymore.
Why, no?
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't. Well, it just seems like just a few years ago, they had the Mercuries on the lot.
Yeah, they did. Just a few years ago. Then they quit.
But I don't see them on the road either.
Well, you see Mariners. They did sell Mariners.
Is that the
Mariners.
SUV, yeah. Mercury Mariner?
Yeah, okay. That they aimed at women. Every ad was a woman driving one of those cars. It was really amazing. Every single ad they did was aimed at a woman. She was putting on her makeup or looking in the mirror or whatever.
I have always said I think it's kind of foolish to just make a mirrored version of the same vehicle under a different brand name. Mm-hmm. Ford Explorer, Mercury Mountaineer. Ford Escape, Mercury Mariner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pointless.
Getting a lot of fan texts about the E85. The best thing I can tell you on E85 is go to the internet. Look it up. There's a lot of really, really good information there. It's not a deal. It's never been a deal. It originally started as a subsidy for farmers. A couple of senators thought it was a really great idea to help the farmers out. And it has sort of grown. Here we are with those unintended results again, consequences. It has grown into a monstrous industry, and it's not saving anybody any money. It's costing us more money for everything we buy. Every time you buy a piece of meat, you pay more for it. Your cereal costs more. Everything costs more because the price of corn has doubled because ethanol industry buys all the corn. There you go. Okay, BMW is launching a really neat online music provider in a joint production with Moog. They're going to have online music in their BMW 6 Series this fall. You'll be able to download it from your iPhone or your smartphone. You'll be able to download the app right into the BMW, and you'll get streaming music with no commercials of any kind.
I love that.
Yeah, it's really sort of a cool deal. And there was a screenshot. If you go to autoflex.com and you click on the story on the Facebook page, there was a screenshot of what the actual screen looks like, and the click on this, click on that. It's really, really cool.
It's kind of like Pandora, right?
Kind of.
Okay.
My opinion, wrong car to launch that in. BMW 6 Series? Really? It's an $85,000 car? I'd put it in the 3 Series.
Yeah, probably smart. But you know what? They're pairing it with navigation, and there's a reason for that, because less and less people really need navigation. Everybody's phone's got good nav.
Mm-hmm.
And your phone nav gets updated without having to spend $185 at the dealer next year.
Right.
You know?
Very
one last
true.
Story, just in case no one knows. Saab may be dead again. They now are saying that they may consider bankruptcy protection from their employees and their suppliers. They haven't built anything since late April. That's when the suppliers quit sending them parts.
All right.
It's sort of like the old Saturday Night Live, General Francisco Franco is still dead. Well, Saab's still dead.
You know, the other morning I was driving to work, and this lady in a Saab pulled out in front of me, kind of made me stand on my brakes a little bit. Now, at first, I was angry until I realized she was in a Saab. Then I just felt sorry for her. That's all.
Nice.
No, I mean, honestly, this is how it went. I mean, I felt sorry for the woman.
Right.
Yeah.
Had a car that's value is just...
It's going to plummet.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah,
like, maybe she's trying to total it now by
value
getting hit.
Plunges.
Maybe that's why she bought.
Oh, good thinking.
Mm-hmm. Conspiracy theory. There was a plan. She wanted She wanted me to kill her car.
We got to take a quick break here. But if you're interested in the 2012 Hyundai Sonata, stay tuned because we're going to take it for a test drive next.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing. David Blessingame, Tammy Pickard, me, Sybil. If you want to call us, 877-881-1053 is the phone number. You can also fan text us at 43733, and you can call AutoFlex. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, but don't call unless you want to save a lot of money.
Yeah.
No, don't. 888-234-1234 long distance, and autoflex.com, the brand new website. You can actually go to autoflex.com, get a Black Book online appraisal on your car right there, sitting in your jammies, and then you can apply for a lease online, build the car you want to build, send it all to us, and when you show up, everything's done. How about that?
Easy as that.
And yes.
And when you call, ask about the tax-free flex lease, because that's going on now between the end of the month.
Yep.
All right, let's get into a couple of these fan texters. People are asking questions at 43733 about ethanol fuel.
Well, and that's why I told them to go online, because it's way, way too deep to get into. But you can go online, find out about the economics of ethanol fuel, find out what it damages and how it can damage possible the property that you've got, the engines that you've got. Next on the list.
Consequences.
Exactly. Do you have down payments on auto leases? No. Auto leases do not require a down payment. Now, if you are if you owe a lot more on your car than it's worth, it might require you put some money down, but that would be to cover part of that negative that you've got in your car, and the rest of it we can roll into a lease. And finally, is the Camaro really worth everything? It's according to how big everything is. But
eye of the beholder.
Yes, I really like the new Camaro. It's a great-looking car. It's a great running car. Very quiet. Very heavy, actually.
The retro styling is just cool.
And it from the front, it looks like a cat, especially when the headlights are on. It's got little cat eyes. Anyway, it's more like a cougar or a lion or something.
I think to get that vintage, very cool retro look, but with today's safety, better fuel economy, better handling, driving, just overall, yeah, it's worth everything. I don't think it's overpriced either.
And the same texter that loves E85 texted in, isn't E85 considered a green fuel? It is considered a green fuel, but again, the actual results are not near as green as anyone would think they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not really efficient. It's not a good way to do that. In fact, we'll ask Jack about what he thinks about that.
It is putting some green in somebody's pockets.
It is. It is. It is. All right, let's move on.
Yes.
We went out and drove the 2012 Hyundai Sonata. And in this case, we did it sort of differently. Normally, we get the top of the line, we go out and drive it. This time, we got the base car because I really wanted to see what kind of quality you could get for $20,000 in a new car.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great. Just quickly mention, too, we have a 2011 pre-owned at our pre-owned lot, and what I like about the car, is it 2011 or 2012?
We have two of them.
Oh, okay. We have two cars. We have two of them. 2012. Yeah. And driving that one, too, I drove that one, too, still handled beautifully, absolutely beautifully. But you're talking about a car with a base MSRP of, you know, $21,000 to $22,000, depending on some of the basic features that you get. And one of the things that I thought was really cool was the sound system. Not that it had the most wattage, but it had the CD, MP3, MP3 player, six speakers, an iPod and USB auxiliary ports, and a 3-month free subscription for satellite radio.
Yeah. And the sound system is great. The access to the sound system is great.
It's easy to use.
It drives really, really well, and the seats are comfortable.
Oh, yeah. I'm big on the comfy seats, mm-hmm. and they're deep enough, wide enough for, you know, the average American. Let's just say. It's not that skinny little seat that you feel like you can't fit in. It's a full-size vehicle, too. You know, Dave and I were talking about comparing that one to, say, a Honda Civic, mm-hmm. you know, because of the good fuel economy and so forth. Is this a bigger car?
It is.
The styling is nice. Oh, another thing, Bluetooth standard. Telescopic and tilt steering wheel.
That's
standard.
Right. Speed-sensitive steering is standard.
Traction control.
Traction, yeah, exactly. Skid control.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a trip computer, power windows and locks, active echo system, which means that there's a light on the dash that tells you when you've got your foot too far in the carburetor. They don't have carburetors anymore, but anyway.
Oh, it has remote keyless entry with a security alarm.
Rear window defroster is standard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, here's one thing that I just liked. On the dual sun visors with illuminated vanity mirrors, you actually had to push a button to turn on the light. And I thought, what if you forget and you flip it back up there? Well, guess what? It turns itself off. The way the little button is set up, turns off automatically. So.
It really is. Now, and here's I was impressed by, you know, four-wheel ABS is standard.
Mm-hmm. That's anti-lock brakes.
Exactly.
Electronic brake force distribution. That's where it knows where to apply
exactly
the brake force, which which set of wheels? Driver and front passenger advanced airbags, seat mounted side impact airbags, front and rear side curtain airbags. Lots of airbags.
And the all-important tire pressure monitoring system. I'm not sure I love any of that.
I know.
But
everybody gets irritated by that whenever it goes off.
What does it do?
Well, it goes off all the time and lets you know when your tire pressure is out of the whack. But
it doesn't necessarily tell you which tire.
Oh,
so then you
got to
go around. But at least there's two schools of thought. I like the fact that it's reminding you to check your tire pressure because that's a huge factor that will, A, affect your fuel economy if it's too low, and B, affect the wear and tear on your tires. Because if it's too low, you'll just shred them in no time.
And for the texter that just texted in, we're reviewing the 2012 Hyundai Sonata.
The Sonata.
Okay, first thing, I got in the back seat because there's a lot of cars that the back seat is only useful for putting a bag of groceries in. I'm not big, but it fit.
Mm-hmm.
I fit.
It was comfortable. The back seat was comfortable. Mm-hmm. There was plenty of leg room back there. Tons of room in the front.
It looks like it's gotten bigger from the old Sonatas. Actually, my best friend has one, and the new one looks like a Camry almost.
Yes. I mean, it's sloped big. Back, and yes, very roomy.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing is, it's a great looking car.
Yeah.
So, in my opinion, it really falls in because, you know, I've always been a big fan of Honda because of the overall reliability and the total cost of ownership because they hold their value so well. This one falls right in between kind of the Honda Accord and the Civic because it has the size of the Accord, the price of the Civic, and then the amenities and features with all the little extras that you just don't get standard on a lot of these cheaper cars.
You know, the other thing is it comes standard with a 5-year 50,000 or 60,000 mile warranty, which is longer and mileage-wise is longer than some of its competitors. So, I mean, that's just another nice thing.
Mm-hmm.
5-year 60 bumper-to-bumper warranty.
So that's the bumper-to-bumper, and then the 100,000 is on powertrain. Powertrain warranty means engine, transmission. The two parts of the car that are probably the least likely to fail. But when they do, they're about the most expensive to repair.
So the 2012 Hyundai Sonata gets a good review from us.
It does. I mean, I was really, really impressed. For $20,000, it's a lot of car. And again, we did not drive the top of the line with all of the extra upholstery and sound equipment. The one thing was it did have a little road noise.
Oh, that's
but
right.
But at the same time, it's a $20,000 car.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You're not spending, you know, $40,000 or $50,000 or even $30,000.
And maybe that could be fixed by some more expensive tires.
Could be.
If you put a set of $1,000 tires on there, that increases the cost of the car grant.
Or turning up the radio.
Yeah, that's David said, "Don't you hear the road noise?" And I said, "No, I'm listening to the radio."
Yeah, if you turn up the radio, the road noise is a lot better.
Or the AC. Right now, you're safe in the summertime with that AC blowing on max.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then you turn the radio on too. You can't hear anything else. I wouldn't hear a police car behind me or a fire truck probably.
Exactly.
Fan text here. Got a letter from a dealership about needing cars like mine. And for me to come in and get a great deal on a new car, are these really a hoax? Well,
not
really a hoax. They're just trying to talk you into coming in to get your car because everybody needs cars right now. Short of cars.
Short of pre-owned cars.
We need your car, too.
And really kind of on some of the brands are short on new cars overall, but the used car business is strong. So if you have any desire to trade now, we think, in another year things are going to kind of adjust back? And these higher numbers that you're getting for used cars right now will come back down. So
I think they're going to come down some, but I really don't see the shortage on used cars catching up for a while because they haven't been selling near as many cars as we used to. They're not building as many cars as we used to. So one of those unintended consequences is there aren't as many used cars because they just didn't build them and sell them.
And until the brand new car market picks back up and ramps up, the used car market is going to be like this. It's going to be a supply and demand issue just because it's got to be sold new in order to become used someday.
That's true.
So, yes, if you're interested in trading, do it. Of course, I would suggest you call Autoflex.
So would I. 817 or 972-234-1234. Next up, we're going to talk to Jack Nierad from Kelley Blue Book. So don't go away. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, and me, Sybil. 877-881-1053 is the phone number. You can also fan text us at 43733. And you can call AutoFlex to take advantage of the tax-free Flex Lease. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. Also, the new website, AutoFlex.com.
So check it out. All right, we've been talking about the next guest for weeks now. We're really excited to have him on. So let's welcome to the show the executive editor of Kelley Blue Book, Jack Nierad. How's it going? Good morning.
It's going great. Great to be with you. I hope I can live up to those high expectations.
Well, we know you can. You have your own radio show. Do all the TV guest appearances. I think you're going to be a professional.
We'll see.
Wrote some books, all that neat stuff. Good morning, Jack. How are you?
Good morning. Great to talk to you guys.
Good to talk to you. I had called you originally for an article that you had written on the 54.5 mile per gallon, and I want to get to that in a minute. But I had a couple of questions that maybe the listeners would be interested in. One of the things KBB does is determines the lowest cost of ownership for vehicles that are being sold right now. And I thought I'd ask you a little bit about the methodology. How do you guys determine which cars will have the lowest cost of ownership?
Well, this is something that we've actually started doing ourselves using our own residual values fairly recently. And we think it's a very natural extension of what we're known for. You know, Kelley Blue Book's, of course, been around for over 80 years and kind of the Bible of car pricing. But we look at the major cost factors as they relate to car ownership. And the biggest cost factor, and it's a hidden cost that a lot of people don't consider, is depreciation. Mm-hmm. And of course, we have been tracking residual values, which basically is a track of depreciation for years and years and years now. We're one of the industry leaders in doing that. So it seemed very natural that we would use that proprietary stuff that we do on residuals, and then collect the other information that includes fuel economy and cost of repairs, insurance, financing, those kind of items that all go into your cost of ownership. But far and away, the biggest is depreciation. So if you're getting the depreciation right or approximately right, you're going to be close to right. And if you don't, you won't.
I noticed that in this year's smaller cars, the Kia and Hyundai were number one and two, and Honda was number one and three. That's a big change from what we've seen historically, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, the Achilles heel of the Korean models, the Korean brands, Kia and Hyundai, had been their resale value, and thus their residual values were always predicted as being fairly low compared to the competitors. We've noticed an increase in quality, fairly significant increase in quality out of those brands over the course of the last 5, 6, 7 years. And consumer perception is basically catching up with that, and that's why their residual values have climbed. People are finding they're not just a car of last resort, they're a car of aspiration, a car that people would like to have, and because of that, their residual values are stronger, and that has led to them being much stronger in terms of cost of ownership than one might have guessed.
And that's we're seeing the same thing. In fact, we reviewed the 2011 Hyundai Sonata in the segment just before this one, and we both really, really like that car. I found it to be the quality to be so much better than that car was even 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, they've made great, great strides. I mean, that car is a player with the Honda Accord and Toyota Camry now. It certainly was not one that we would recommend in that company 5 years ago, so... You're absolutely right.
And the other thing that sort of surprised me was on the luxury side, Cadillac is now number three behind, and the other thing, Audi's number one.
Audi is on an incredible roll. I mean, they seem to be doing everything right now, and you're probably old enough to remember, I know I am, that Audi almost went out of the U.S. market about 20 years ago, and they had some very difficult safety problems, which actually probably mostly turned out to be driver error rather than the fault of the car, but the resurgence has just been amazing, and it's because their products are so good. I mean, you go up and down their product line, and you can't find a stinker, that's for sure, and
that's
everything
true.
Is at least close to top of the class, if not top of the class.
And they look great. I mean, I love the lighting that they've done around the headlights and stuff on those cars. They've done some really innovative things with the appearance of the car that make it a lot more desirable, I think.
Absolutely. Both inside and out as well.
Jack, this is Tammy here on the show. I've got a question for you about Audi. Don't you feel like a lot of what they're doing right is keeping their supply and demand in order?
Yeah, and that's, of course, a very difficult thing to do. I mean, from an industry side, that's great. From a consumer side, I guess consumers would like to see a little oversupply there. So the prices would go down for them. But that's one of the things that I think all the car companies are getting better at. I mean, we're seeing that with the market right now versus the market, say, 2 or 3 years ago when we went into a major slide, I should say, actually closer to 4 years ago. We went into a major slide and people had a lot of inventory and it was a bad, bad deal. We've kind of worked through that. Of course, when you have bankruptcies of two major manufacturers and accompanied by plant closings, you know, all over the country and really all over the world, that's going to affect supply. So it's something that's good for the car companies. You can argue it's good for the consumers or not.
Well, it would be good for the consumer that gets the car and has the higher resale value later.
Yeah, on the other end, once you bought, I guess it will help you maintain your value. So you're right. That is a good thing.
If we could change gears now, I read your article on the 54.5 mile per gallon mandate from the government by 2025, 14 short years away. Mm. And I read your article and I was really, really fascinated by, number one, the research that you've done, and also the unintended consequences that you see as coming from this mandate. Could you talk about that a little?
Yeah, I mean, that's what kind of shocked me about this whole scenario. And there seemed to be, you know, somewhat in the journalistic community, a lack of rigor about this. They seem to just kind of accept, you know, basic premises set out by the administration about how this was going to go and just went with it. And the basic premise was, well, it will cost the consumer more, and they threw out a dollar figure per car. Which was essentially, I think, pulled out of the air more than anything else.
That was around $2,000, wasn't it?
Yeah, around $2,000 or so. And then they said, well, over the course of ownership, because they're going to, because consumers will save on fuel, it will essentially pay for itself. Huh. And again, what it didn't figure in was that the new car buyer doesn't own their car for the life of the car. They own their cars for more like 3 or 4 years, and then they turn them over. In fact, there's some trend, and of course, leasing is pushing that too,
right,
of making that more frequent rather than less frequent. So it's unlikely that the original owner is going to see any benefit or much benefit from the higher fuel economy, certainly not enough to offset the added cost. And whenever you add the price to something and you're really giving nothing more or very little more in terms of value, you're going to limit purchase. And that's what didn't get figured in here. I mean, it was kind of as if the industry would just go on and they'd pass this cost along and without any other effects. Well, if price goes up, and you guys have your finger on the pulse of the market, you know, on a weekly, daily, hourly basis, you know that if prices go up, sales go down. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And if sales go down, a lot of things happen. Plants close, car dealerships suffer and lay off personnel. Fewer new cars go into the marketplace, so there are fewer used cars 2 years down the road. People hold their cars longer, and thus cars that are less fuel efficient and more polluting stay on the road longer. There's a lot of things that are logical scenarios here that flow out of this that nobody seemed to be talking about.
Yeah, I agree. It seemed like everyone sort of got in lockstep. You know, I think a lot of people believe that the government, certainly currently, is really, really good at making backdoor deals, some kind of concession somewhere. Do you think concessions were made in order to get these manufacturers in lockstep?
You know, there were a lot of loopholes in this, and my guess is, well, there's a couple of things. The major thing is, although this is supposed to extend into well past 2020 to 2025, the last 5 years of this are totally open for review. Mm-hmm. In fact, they're probably not worth more than the paper they're printed on, because if the industry can prove or at least suspect that these are going to be almost impossible to fulfill or cause grievous harm, which I predict they could, mm-hmm. then the whole thing gets revisited. I think a lot of the industry is betting on the fact that there's liable to be a new administration around.
Yeah.
And, you know, all things will change over there. There certainly will be a new administration by 2020, of course,
right.
because the current administration, even if President Obama were reelected, would be gone by then. So a lot of things can change on that. But I think even... more specifically, I think there were a lot of concessions to a lot of people to get them on board. I know that the auto industry at first was girding for a battle on this, and then they were brought around. Well, I think they were brought around because there were concessions, like the concession on pickup trucks that essentially is a concession to both the big three automakers and frankly, for the United Auto Workers Union. So we're not going to realize anything like the 54 mile per gallon that is actually promised. It's going to be more in the 40s somewhere, probably.
Do you see this maybe as just more of a political feel-good kind of, we're going to put this out here because we're green and that's our constituency?
I think there's a lot of that, and I think that's why this was attacked from both sides. Actually, the environmental side is not particularly happy with the way this sorted out either. And, of course, you know, we're a nation of compromise, and probably compromise between various positions is a good thing overall. But I don't know that anybody is particularly happy about this. You know, on the green lobby side, the environmentalist side, they were looking for a 60-mile-per-gallon standard. And now the reality is going to be something more like in the 40-mile-per-gallon range, so that's way off what they were predicting,
right?
And would have felt comfortable with, and it's hard to say.
I have a question for you, Jack. Who do you think that they think that this is going to benefit?
Well, I think it's going to benefit the politicians more than anybody, and I think that's why a lot of these decisions get made. I mean, it seems like a good thing, like, who among us doesn't want the air to be cleaner?
Right.
Doesn't want us to use less foreign oil. I mean, I'd raise my hand for both things, of those things, and I'm sure you guys would too. But how do we get there? The vexing thing, I think, to the industry about the way the United States has gone about fuel economy and limiting the use of oil and foreign oil is how backward it is, or how
exactly.
labyrinthian it is, versus, you know, something more, much more straightforward. I mean, just limiting the amount of foreign oil by law, or you know, putting a tax on gasoline and other fuels that would limit consumption and push people toward higher fuel economy vehicles.
You know, the other thing that I thought was really interesting is the change in dependencies that you outlined in that article, because now we're dependent on companies that produce foreign oil. But how do you see that dependency changing?
Well, that's a good question, and thanks for asking it. I mean, it was something I had forgotten to talk about. But what the standard really implies is a lot of electrification. So hybrids, plug-in hybrids, full electric cars, mild hybrids, you know, a lot more use of electrics, and thus a lot more use of batteries. And, of course, batteries, a lot of people don't realize, use rare earths, specific elements that are mined in very specific places, and mostly in China these days. And they're mined in China largely because China has such lax environmental regulations that
right.
they can get away with doing that, where you know, other countries and other areas would say, well, we don't want this to happen. But I'm somewhat fearful, and others who are close to this are fearful that we're trading our dependency from foreign oil to foreign rare earths, and
right.
they're actually available from far fewer countries than foreign oil is. I mean, most of our foreign oil, we use a lot of foreign oil, but our foreign oil comes from Mexico and Canada.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the bulk of our foreign oil, so I think those are pretty friendly nations.
Mm-hmm. And
we're not as much at risk as some people might think we are.
And then you don't have OPEC.
Right.
You know, whenever you get into these rare earth minerals.
Yeah.
Jack, we really appreciate you joining us on the air this morning. Thank you for your insights, and If anyone wants to read, of course, Jack has written a couple of books. He wrote The Idiot's Guide for Buying and Leasing a Car. He wrote The Idiot's Guide for Buying a Hybrid, which I think are probably both very worthwhile if you're a consumer to read. And you can read a lot about Jack on the internet because he's published. And is your radio show still on, Jack?
Oh, yeah. We've been on about 22 years now, and we're on actually about 300 stations around the country, so we're kind of proud of that.
Well, we really, yeah, and we appreciate you very much. We'd like to ask you back sometime in the future.
Love to be with you guys. It's been great talking with you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jack.
Thank you, Jack.
There he goes, Jack Nierad, Kelley Blue Book, KBB.com.
I could talk to him for a long time.
Interesting guy.
He's got a lot of insight, and I totally agree with him.
Mm-hmm. All right, stay tuned. We'll be back with the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, and me, Sybil. Got just a couple minutes left of the show, but we do have a lot of fan texts that we want to get to at 43733. So let's just rapid fire rifle through them. What do you say?
Okay, 92 SC400 is my car. Too old for an AutoFlex lease trade. There is probably no car that's too old. It's worth something. We'll be glad to look at it. We do have to look at it because of the age, because there can be a lot of difference in condition when a car is that old. And if it's in great condition, it can be worth a lot more money. So it's to your advantage to make sure that if you're trading cars with us, that you actually let us see your car. Right. It actually helps.
I have a 2006 Honda Civic with 123,000 miles. Want to trade it in, but it has some body damage, a couple dents and stuff, some burn holes in the seat. Should I fix it? No, absolutely not. Trade it in as is. If it were a lot newer vehicle, that's going to be a totally different thing. But now that it's over 100,000, no. Trade it in as is.
And we can get it fixed wholesale, and more than likely, that's what we'll do. Does AutoFlex lease Jeep Wranglers every day? Yes, we do, and I love those cars.
We lease everything.
And they have great resale value.
Mm-hmm. They sure
Wranglers
do.
Are good.
And speaking of Jeep, somebody said, when can you expect the 2012 Jeep Grand Cherokee?
I think probably within just a couple of weeks.
Really? I don't know. We'll have to check.
Yeah, I think.
I'd be surprised if Chrysler was rolling them out real early, but I guess it's August.
It is. Yeah.
Almost September.
What happened?
Okay. I owe $20,409 on a 2011 Sorento, and the Black Book value is around $16,500. Can I get a 212 and keep the same payment? Probably not, because you've probably got about $4,000 in negative there. Shouldn't do math on the
air. Wait a minute. That's based on Black Book. We should evaluate that car because some of those cars are coming in higher than Black Book values.
That is true. Right now, there's such a shortage of used cars like the texter earlier that got the letter. People really need you. I mean, we need people's used cars, and we will pay top dollar for them because we have such a great used car leasing and sale business, and it's a lot better for us to trade for a car than it is to have to go to auction and buy it.
Plus, he has a 2011, so the newer pre-owned cars are even a little more valuable because of the loan programs that are available on a newer car. People can stretch it out. You could also consider going into the brand new, and if that is not a lease, you could consider a lease and definitely save money. And that would be another option.
Well, and the other thing
is,
the negative. If he purchased the 2011, the lease on the 2012, even covering his negative, would probably give him a lower payment.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Or her. We don't
or
know.
Or her.
That phone
Can't
number.
Can't tell from
is
the phone number.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's true.
All right, real quickly, and because I promised this in the promos that we did for the show, I was in the Federal Trade Commission last Tuesday. I had planned to fly to Washington, meet with the Federal Trade Commission, and fly back on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was set up, fly in early, fly out relatively early, catch a plane at 4:55. So I get there, I get to downtown D.C., I get to 601 New Jersey Avenue. There it is, the big building, Federal Trade Commission, right?
Uh-huh.
First of all, you walk in the lobby, and they go, walk in that room. That's what the guy at the desk says. He doesn't smile. He just says, walk in that room.
Doesn't ask who you are, who you're meeting.
No, because you go through security there before you do anything else.
Wow.
So then you go through basically the same thing you do at an airport. Mm. They didn't frisk me, but they ran me through a metal detector.
Mm-hmm.
They looked at everything I had. They had to take the laptop out, run it over the belt, the whole nine yards. Then you find out that you can't, even then, you could walk back into the lobby area on the backside of where the guy was sitting. But no, you wait for someone to come down from upstairs and sign for you. before you can actually enter into the building. So I get signed for.
Sounds
we're
efficient.
Sitting. Yeah. The reason I was there is I'm a resource witness, or not a witness, but a resource for the Federal Trade Commission. What they're doing is working on automotive leasing regulations. And so I was there to answer their questions about the automotive leasing industry. Sitting across the table, everything's relaxed, just getting started, and the whole building shakes.
Oh.
And it doesn't shake just a little. It shakes a lot.
What floor were you on?
I was on the third floor. And I had been in one other earthquake in Mexico 7-8 years ago that was a big earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew what one felt like. I knew instantly what it was. There was no doubt because the ground does not move.
The ground Weird. Does not move?
Unless it's an earthquake.
Oh.
And like, if, wait a minute.
If the ground moves, it's an earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
So we're sitting there and the whole building shakes and chairs slide and you can hear things, you know, rumbling and cracking. And the woman across from me goes, "What was that?" I said, "That's an earthquake and we need to go."
Mm-hmm.
And she went. She looked at me really funny and went, "Earthquake?" Because I think they haven't had one in like since 1940.
Yeah.
And I said, "We need to go now." I was up. I was walking. So, but I will say this about our federal employees: there were five of them there, and they had people making notes and stuff. All of them had their notepads. They all in unison grabbed their notepads as we were walking out. And the lady I was meeting with said, "Would you mind if we finish this meeting across the street in the park?" And I said, "No." So we walked across the street. We found a nice shady place along with the thousands of other people that were standing outside because
everybody pours out of the building.
Everything cleared out. Mm-hmm. Every building in D.C. emptied at once. So you got thousands of people standing on the street. We finished our meeting over there, and she had the people that were taking. Do you know people still do shorthand?
No,
there
I would have never guessed.
There were two people in the meeting taking shorthand of everything that was said.
Interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, we finished our meeting, and that's when I found out what gridlock was, because when everyone gets off work at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, they all get in their cars. It
2 o'clock?
Was a mess. Yeah, because that's when the earthquake was.
Oh, okay.
And nobody got to go back to work.
All right.
There's the earthquake story.
I like it. I'm glad you survived. Glad you're here to tell the story. All right, we got to go, but if you want to take advantage of the tax-free flex lease, you have to call this weekend. It only lasts till the end of the month, 817 or 972-234-1234. Also, check out the website, autoflex.com. You can click on the Facebook link and follow along with all the stories we talked about today. Coming up next, it's Chris Arnold. Stay tuned. Thanks to Waddle on the Board. For David Blassingame and Tammy Pickard, my name is Sybil Summers. We'll see you back here next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. for the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.